Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6 this morning. We're going to be moving through several passages of Scripture as we take up the subject of 2021. Plan ahead, but be flexible. Plan ahead, but be flexible. We all plan one way or another for physical necessities. I thought about this particular idea. Suppose the thought entered into your mind that you wanted to build a house in 2021. And so you got a list together of all the supplies that you needed for building a house, and you sent over a fax or an email to Pittman Lumber over in Pea Ridge, and you said, I want all the supplies delivered to my property, and I want you to put it out there in the middle of the property, and piled it all up, out, all the supplies are there and ready to go, and the bulldozer comes, and everything that you ordered is right in the middle of the way where they need to put the foundation. And so, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Didn't plan ahead. Well, wait a minute, I planned ahead, I got all the supplies together. But that's as far as it went. You didn't plan ahead. Maybe you should have put those supplies somewhere else, or instead of right in the middle of the spot where you're going to be building your house. Yes, you're going to need them nearby, but not in the exact spot. Planning ahead. But I thought about this failure of planning effectively in regard to spiritual necessities. All of us should know this, and we practice planning on a regular basis. We've already got all of our baseball stuff already planned. We've already mailed out our flyers to all of our parents, and we've got other letters going out to our sponsors and things of that nature. We plan ahead for the physical necessities of life. But do we spend a lot of time seriously planning our spiritual life? Do we apply the same earnestness in planning to maximize our spiritual lives as we do at planning to make a living? To be honest, I don't think so. I don't think so. What I would like to do this morning is to try to persuade you and myself to set aside time each week in the coming year to plan, and specifically to plan our life of prayer and walk with the Lord. The bulldozer of God's Spirit often arrives at the scene of our heart to do a great work of building, but the problem is he finds, due to poor planning, there are piles of disordered things in the way, and he's not able to do his work that he would like to do. Do you realize that you can plan for God to do a work in your heart and life, or you can be disorderly and disrupt the plans of God for a work in our lives? I think it's important for us to look at the Bible in this regard, and so I'm going to give three examples today. I'm going to give the first example from the book of Proverbs about what it has to say about planning. Then I want us to look at some illustrations from the life of the Apostle Paul, and probably because of time, only get to do one of those illustrations. And then I want you to see the planning of God, thirdly. First of all, I want to give you six illustrations from the book of Proverbs about planning. And the first of these comes in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, where we read, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." Now, first of all, the Lord didn't have a whole lot of concern for my self-esteem. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Now, you can't say, well, that's talking about somebody else in the church. No, the Bible just makes a blanket statement. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. You know what kind of a person you are. You know if you're the type of person that can't show up to work on time. You're the type of person that's always calling in. Jonathan was telling us about, they had a meeting at their workplace, and they said, all right, from now on, you've got to call us and explain to us why you're not showing up to work, rather than a text, I'm staying home today. He said, if you keep doing that, you're not going to have a job here. Well, in other words, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. Notice, please, and be wise. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, in other words, she doesn't have a boss telling her what to do, gathereth her food in the harvest, How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Father in heaven, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word today, that you would teach us about this matter of planning spiritually, but also help us to be flexible, because sometimes there are changes that you bring into our lives that may alter our plans. I pray, dear Father, that you would work in such a way that we'd be drawn closer to thee today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The ant is an example here in this passage of Scripture, not only because it works so hard, but because it plans ahead. Did you note that in our verses that we just read? This ant plans ahead. It works in the summertime to store food for the wintertime. And it does this intuitively. Because the ant doesn't have to say, now, guess what? It's summertime, and you guys have been lounging around here in the ant tunnel, and you haven't been working. We've got wintertime coming. So I need you all to get up and get busy, boss ant says to everybody. No, that doesn't happen in an ant colony. Everybody intuitively knows that we've got wintertime coming up. There's a change in the weather, and it's time to get busy. And they plan. They start storing up food for the wintertime. Storing up food for the wintertime. Planning ahead. So go to the ant, thou sluggard, the Bible says, and consider her ways. And then there's three little words attached to that. And be wise. So we know that this planning ahead by the ant is wise. It's wise. They will have plenty to eat in the wintertime when foraging for food is a lot harder. And they'll be able to stay in their colony, and they'll be able to keep their warmth together, and they'll have plenty to eat during that time. So it's good to plan together. Would you turn over to Proverbs chapter 14? I've got six examples of this. Look at verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 14. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. That's an interesting thing. Talking about and be wise. What do the simple do? They believe everything they're told. All right? They believe everything they're told. Do you know, Christian, that you and I are to have an inquisitive nature, and we're to test things to see whether they're true or not? One of the great lessons of 2020 is not just accepting carte blanche everything that's told us. Some of us have been mocked and belittled because we didn't buy everything that was said. And I was told, you shouldn't be opening the church May the 1st. I said, we need to get back. We need to get back. If people want to wear a mask, then they can wear a mask. That's fine. I have no problem. We went out and bought masks, hundreds of them, and made them available to our students, to all of you. Anybody wants to do that. We have hand sanitizer. We put them throughout our buildings. Like we put them all through all our ballpark. We put them at the learning center. We want people to take good care of themselves. We've tried to keep your hands away from your face. But understand, you can go too far. And I have found this to be true too, that some of the people that took all the precautions still got it. So there's a lesson to be learned. There's a lesson. I'm not criticizing anyone. What I'm saying is this. The simple believe everything they're told. That's what this verse says. But what does the prudent do? What do the wise do? Notice this. They look well to his going. You know what that is? They've got good horse sense, and they start digging into the facts to see whether it's true or not. We've been told a lot of things this year that weren't true. A lot of different things. Now they're changing numbers on the website, the CDC website, that are just confusing. This herd, thing that they want to do, herd immunity. They changed the numbers this week secretly. They changed it from 70% to 70, 80, and then at the last minute, Dr. Fauci said, oh, it's going to be 90%. 90% have to take the thing. Now, why did they change that? Why did they change that? If the number to start with was wrong, why didn't they say that? They never say that, do they? They never say, we're sorry, we were wrong about that. No, they just tweak it, change it on the website, because they know how people are today. The simple believe everything they're told. But the prudent say, let me just weigh this out. Why are the numbers, why are the goalposts constantly moving all the time? What's happening? It's okay, folks, to question. It doesn't mean that you're not a good American. It doesn't mean that you're some kind of a conspiracy nut. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is we're prudent and we want to check things out. That's what you need to do. And by the way, don't go to Wikipedia to do that. Well, I read on Wikipedia that people can go in and alter Wikipedia and change it for whatever purpose they want to do. Don't follow that. What do? You use common sense. You know that factor my grandma used to say, horse sense. Horse sense. You just knew how to ride a horse because you'd been taught. You knew how to take care of a horse. You just had horse sense. You know, horses rarely stumble. They're able to see very well, and they're able to go very well. Why do they use donkeys on tours in the Grand Canyon? Right? Why don't they have motorcycles? That'd be cool. Well, having taken a motorcycle up the side of a mountain in the Philippines, I know why they use donkeys. We fell off our motorcycle. One guy nearly lost the motorcycle over the edge of the thing. We were able to grab on and hold on for dear life to pull it back up. You don't have to do that with a donkey. They're sure-footed. They're sure-footed. They take their time. Now, if you're wanting to get down in a big hurry, it's not going to happen. But one thing about it, you'll get there safely. Wise, prudent. The difference between planning and not planning is whether you look where you are going in the future or whether you focus all your attention on the immediate. Welcome to the United States of America, where the attention is only on the immediate. Only on the immediate. No focus down the road. No thinking ahead. That's why we can come up with $2.6 trillion packages, 6,000 pages, and not have it available for our congresspeople to read before they vote on it. Is that planning ahead? They did have a rule that said you had to have 72 hours in order to be able to read it, but it would take a long time to read through 6,000 pages and all the numbers that they've got in there and all the wonderful gifts that we've got for all the foreign countries around the world. We've got all that kind of stuff, and we're giving that money away. Are we prudent, folks? We're not prudent. We're just throwing money and hoping that it'll stick and it'll save us. Oh, we can afford this, we're being told by our politicians. I'm here to tell you, we're almost $25 trillion in debt. How are we going to pay that off? You know what they're thinking? We'll just get it forgiven. We can start all over again. Keynesian economics. We'll just have it forgiven and just write it off. Well, how's that going to go? How's that going to work? Oh, we'll worry about that then. Is that planning? No, that's not prudence at all. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Look over to the next chapter in Proverbs. Look at verse 22 and Proverbs 15. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, one caveat to that is make sure you have good counselors. Yeah. Make sure you have wise counselors. By the way, you get that in the context as you read chapter 15, that the counselors are wise people. That people have been down the road. You know, it's an amazing thing And teenagers, you need to learn this lesson right now. Don't go to your friends and ask them about big decisions of life. Go to people who have lived life, who are Christians, who are godly, that have been down the road and they know the pitfalls and the mistakes and the potholes that are there. But we go ask our friends, and they're just going to pat you on the back and tell you what you want to hear. And you'll fall right into the first trap that comes down the road because you're not ready. Listen, without counsel, purposes are what? Disappointed. I don't understand why that didn't work. We'll make it work this time. And then they go out and do it the same way they did it before. And they wonder why that it didn't turn out right, because they didn't plan it through. And by the way, please be a student of history. Do you realize that we are in the process in America of rewriting history? We want to rewrite all of history. We want to rewrite the founders. 1619 Project. Really, America didn't start in 1620 with the pilgrims coming over. It came over with the first slaves that were brought to the Americas at that particular time. And it was an evil beginning. Evil, evil, evil. By the way, all the notable historians have rejected the Project 1619. Matter of fact, they've asked the New York Times to give back their Pulitzer that they earned for that project that they wrote about, because there's so many factual errors that are throughout it. But it was done on purpose, folks. And by the way, this fall, over 2,000 schools in the United States of America adopted the Project 1619 Project for their history curriculum. Teaching lies. Why? Oh, we have to change history. Because if you change history and you teach people lies about the past, then they have no point of reference. Their point of reference now is, it was all a lie, forget it. Let's start over again. And what do? We make the same mistakes that have been made in the past. How foolish. Look over to chapter 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. What comes before the thoughts? A lot of people like to think for themselves. But what comes, Christian, before your thoughts? It is committing thy works unto the Lord. That'll temper your thinking. That'll straighten you out. Oh, we think all kinds of things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Think. And what happens is that we haven't got the point of reference to committing our works unto the Lord done first. And so our thinking is all skewed and wrong. And we start doing things that we ought not to be doing. We start leaving behind the first principles of God's Word. The standards of God's Word get left aside. And as a result of that, we're not thinking right, because we've left the first works of God. We're not committed to those anymore. Planning is taken for granted, and the issue is, how can you plan in such a way that what you produce will have abiding value? Some people use the Yugo model for their life model. Anybody remember the Yugo? You have to go back into history. The Yugo, the Yugoslavian vehicle that was going to change the world. 60 miles to the gallon. You know why? Because you were pushing it all the time. Started smoking at 5,000 miles, burning oil. It was a piece of junk. But it was sold in America as the great new economy car, and people bought them up. And then they ended up all in the junkyard. Okay? Nothing ever has been written positive about the Yugo other than the fact that it's in the junkyard. Piece of junk. But some people have the Yugo. I'm going to be efficient, but I'm going to cut some corners here. We don't need to do all those tolerances that Honda does with their cars. We're going to do it differently. We're going to churn these things out. We're going to make money on the Yugo. They didn't make a dime. They had to shut down operations. The plant's closed, because they were producing an inferior product that didn't last. And there are some that are producing an inferior life an inferior life because we're not following the first principles of God's Word. We haven't committed our ways unto the Lord first. We've just moved on to the thoughts, planning things out. How foolish. Proverbs 24 and verse 27. Notice this, please. Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. So in other words, get a job first before you start worrying about a house. Is that practical sense? Get your field in. Get the thing that's going to produce the money at the end of the season, and then worry about your house. Well, we're going to build a house first. Well, what are you going to do for money? We'll borrow it. All right? Yeah, we get into massive debt. Can't dig our way out because we've not used biblical principles. We're to get a job first. Start earning a living, and then you can start planning ahead and those kind of things. And then go to the last chapter. I find this very, very helpful. Verses 15 and 16 in regard to this matter of planning ahead, but being flexible. Notice the virtuous woman. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planted a vineyard. Now here is a woman here who is industrious. She gets up while it's still night. She gets up early. And what does she do when she gets up early? She doesn't watch a movie on Hallmark. She doesn't sit around and do nothing. What is she doing? The Bible says here that she is giving meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's up early preparing for the day and providing for her family and for her workers, making sure they're taken care of. And then what does she do? She goes out and she considers buying a field, and then she buys it. This is a woman that's smart. This whole idea that has gotten rooted, I'm afraid, in a lot of churches, that women are just supposed to sit around and do nothing and have babies all the time, that's their only job. I find a whole different woman in Proverbs 31. I think some preachers have been skipping that chapter. They get to the 30 and they move on to Ecclesiastes. But I want to tell you something. When you read Proverbs 31, woman, you've got a smart woman. Smarter than most of us guys. Okay? She's planning things out. She's working ahead. She's purchasing land. She's got a plan. I don't buy into all that garbage that women are just second-class citizens. They are to be honored, men. They are to be taken care of, and they're to be honored, and they're to be appreciated, and they're to be consulted. And if you're not doing that, you're a fool. I'm smart enough. You go ahead, fool! Go ahead! Make a mess of your life and everybody's life around you because you don't follow the Bible. What's the conclusion of the book of Proverbs? Careful planning is part of what makes a person wise and productive. Not to plan is considered foolish and dangerous, the book of Proverbs tells us. This is true even though the Proverbs teach us that we do not know what the future may bring. For in Proverbs 16 and verse 9 it says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We plan, but we found out in 2020 that we can plan and we can have our plans changed. And the Lord direct us in another way. Direct our steps in another challenge. The fact that the Lord is ultimately in control of the future does not mean we shouldn't plan. It means that we should commit our work to the Lord and trust Him to establish our plans according to His loving purposes. I want you to look, please, at Romans chapter 15. We're moving right along here. Romans chapter 15. I want us to look at Paul's planning. Verses 20 through 28. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. In other words, he went back to the Old Testament scripture and found an established principle there. And he said, I'm going to live my life by that. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors there are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. Now we see a plan set forth by the Apostle Paul. We see three levels of planning here. We see, first of all, the immediate plan. I am going to be leaving, and I am going to make my way to Jerusalem. Then there was an intermediate plan. I'm going to come back to you in Rome, and I'm going to visit with you. And then there was the long-range plan. I'm going to go where? Spain. So we have an immediate, an intermediate, and a future plan. Do you know what happened? The long-term plan probably never happened. We don't know for sure, but there's no record that the Apostle Paul ever made it to Spain. And you know how he ended up leaving Jerusalem? On a prison ship, making his way back to Rome, where he would stand trial. Not making it back to Spain. But the Lord interrupted his plans, and we find several times as you study through this passage of Scripture, how God stopped him from going here, stopped him from going there, but directed his path back to Jerusalem, allowed him to deliver that offering to the folks, the Jewish Christians that were there, because they were going through some really tough times. And then he was arrested in Jerusalem and he was taken back to Rome, where he spent the remaining days of his life. Paul made plans, but he had to be what? Flexible. Flexible. Planning is important, folks. And even though we don't know what the future holds, we still plan, but also be flexible in your plans. Oh, we've had a lot of our plans disrupted this year. And people don't know going forward. Our number one question in phone calls and texts and so forth, are we going to have a baseball program this year? What are your COVID plans? I'm getting all those questions. So we're going to have all that stuff posted up soon. Enjoy your Christmas and your Happy New Year. Because people are already, what are we going to do? What are we going to do in the spring? Let's get through the holidays first. Immediate. We'll worry about the intermediate when it comes time. We got plenty of time to think about that. And then there's long-range plans. You got the whole year that's ahead of us. We plan and prepare. Plan and prepare, but we're flexible in case God changes things. I want you to see, finally, the planning of God. The planning of God. And I want you to look with me to Isaiah chapter 46. This is a great, great passage here. Isaiah chapter 46. Let the word sink into your heart here as we read verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. Now, what is that saying? Let's put it in modern day jargon. Pay attention to history.
Well, I don't like history.
Well, history is boring to me. Okay, you go on ahead. You live your life without history, without a reference point, and see what happens then. Because the Bible instructs us here in verse 9 of this passage of Scripture that we're to remember the former things of old. It's good to go back and look at history. I'm reading right now a biographical sketch of a man by the name of Frank Sisson. And Frank was a young man that grew up in an impoverished situation. His dad died whenever he was a child, and his mom looked to him to provide for the family. So he went to work at age 12 to provide for the family. Left home at age 15 to go to California because they were looking for young men to train. He lied about his age, learned how to become a welder, building ships for the Lend-Lease program, and made money, sent it back home. When he turned 17, the war was in full rage, and he told his mom, "I've got to come back home because I got to sign up to go into the war." He ended up serving in the Third Army with General Patton. And it is an amazing story of this young man growing up. He tells all the things of his life growing up without a dad, having to learn some hard lessons, but taking care of his family the whole time. He sent his check, every check that he got, he sent back to his mom back in Oklahoma, sending back money. Whenever he made it out of World War II. Most of his friends were killed. He came in the second wave at Normandy, made his way all the way inland, fought at Bastogne, go down the list of all the major wars that took place, and he survived. He's now 101. The oldest living Marine. Telling the story just like it happened yesterday. And he said, "I constantly go back to those days because those are the days in which I learned the lessons of life. I also learned the lessons of death. I watched people die all around me. Horrendous deaths." He said, "The memories have stayed with me just about every night whenever I pillow my head at night and the dreams that I have had to endure through the years." But he says, "History is my friend." And he said, "I'm afraid for America because the children today are not being taught the lessons of history. And if you don't learn the lessons of history, you're doomed to repeat them." And that's what this passage is all about. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Do you think that's a lesson that every child needs to learn in church? Every boy and girl in this room needs to know that God is God, and He will do His pleasure. He will accomplish His work. His word will not return unto Him void. It will accomplish everything. Just like He spoke the worlds in existence, said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The stars of the heavens appeared, millions upon millions upon millions, and galaxy upon galaxy, spoken into existence by an eternal God. God plans, by the way. God plans. God planned an eternity past the creation of the world, but He also planned the redemption of lost sinners, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1. That He loved us before the foundation of the world. And He planned a way of escape that we would be transformed into the image of His Son, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. God has an eternal plan. And by the way, as we conclude our message this morning, God has a plan for every one of you in this auditorium and everyone that listens by way of Facebook Live or the radio. God has a plan. But you got to want to know. You have to commit your way unto the Lord, as we learned from Proverbs. Commit my way. Have you done that? Have the screen, I think it's still up there, about what lies before. We haven't finished this year yet. So don't be rushing into 2021 yet. "Well, I'm just canceling the rest of this year. I'm just going to take a big vacation, and then January 1st, I'm going to start planning." Well, we'll see how that works out for you. We've got today. We've got tomorrow. Are you planning your spiritual life? Are you planning your spiritual life for today and for tomorrow? You see, folks, there's much to be done for God as we approach His rapture, His return. There's much to be done for God. What are we doing? Are we so wrapped up? Well, I just can't wait to get my check from the government. I've got all kinds of plans for that $2,000 if it gets voted on. Or maybe it's the $600 one. I don't know. We may not get any of it if they can't vote on it. But I'm telling you this, folks. You better have a plan spiritually or your life's going to be a shipwreck in 2021. We had a lot of twists and turns in 2020. We had a lot of game changers that came our way. And some were not prepared. Some were not prepared for the game changers. Panic button. You know what we need to do? We need to plan. But we also need to be flexible in the hands of the Holy Spirit of God. So that when the twists and the turns come and the game changers happen, we look to the one that hasn't changed. The one who's not been in a twist or a turn. Hasn't hit a wall. What is He going to do? What's God going to do? God already knows what He's going to do. What you have to do is commit your ways unto Him. And He will direct your path. You say, that just sounds too simple. I'm thankful it's simple. The hard part is doing it. The hard part is doing it. Commit my way. I want to be in charge of my life. I got lots of things I want to do. A lot of places I want to go. A lot of things I want to take care of in this year. All right. Did you commit your way to the Lord first? I'm not talking about, all right, Lord, I'm going to make some plans here and I want You to bless them. That's not how it works. If you're not doing God's work right now, it's very unlikely that you'll be doing God's work tomorrow. Because you didn't plan to do it today. It takes planning and preparation spiritually. I want to grow in the Lord this year, and I'm going to spend more time, not less time, more time in God's Word. And then set up a structure of how you're going to break down. Don't do this in your Bible study. Oh, there's a good verse for today. Is that planning? Is that preparing? No. Maybe you're like the guy that opened his Bible and came to the verse and Judas went out and hanged himself. And then he turned his Bible again and opened it up and said, go thou and do likewise. That's how some people come to the Bible, just random. Have a purpose. The purpose is, how can I bring the most glory to God with my life? Not how you're going to better yourself. Not how you're going to improve yourself. I'm talking about spiritually. How am I going to bring glory to God in my life? Father in heaven, this challenge comes from many different verses of Scripture, but they all point to the same one. The one who has planned all things and everything has worked according to Your plan since the very beginning. No surprises. Everything is shaping up for the revelation of the Antichrist, and that means that You're going to be coming to take us to be with these soon. Lord, I pray that we would not live haphazardly just because we don't know what the future is going to hold, but rather have a plan spiritually. That we're going to use every day, every hour for Your glory. That we might be in constant communication with You. Praying throughout the day, Lord, telephone's ringing. Would You give me wisdom about how to deal with whatever this question might be? It may be of no consequence or it may be of eternal consequence, but dear Father, help me to use it for Your glory. That's planning. That's preparing. And Lord, You want us to do that, but also You want us to be flexible because sometimes there are things that You wish to accomplish. Just like in the life of Job, he had no idea that in the heavenlies, Satan was talking to God about Job, about what he would like to do to Job to get him to turn away from God, and God gave him permission, except to take Job's life. And oh, it was a horrible, terrible time in Job's life, but he came out on the right end because he found out that God never changes. and that God has the answers to all of life's questions. I pray that we would submit ourselves to Thee, dear Father, and that we would live in a such a way that's planned and prepared, not haphazard, not off the cuff, but as a life dedicated to the glory of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.